I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I would like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, and read through chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, reading through chapter 4 and verse 4. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we know that we need Thee every moment of our lives. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We know that it is in Thee that we live and move and have our very being. We know that Thou art the giver of life and the sustainer of life, and we ask You, Lord, to help us all this night. We might be able to hear the Word of God. We might rejoice in it. We might thank You for it. We pray that the Word of the Lord would be precious to us, that we would realize what a great blessing it is to have the Word of God. We pray that You would help us all as we go through this coming week, that You would bless all the different ones. We know that in this congregation there are those who have great needs and great burdens and great problems that only You can help with. And we ask You to bless each one in this building tonight, that they would be able to feel Your sustaining grace, that You would give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion that can come only from Thee. We beg You, Lord, to bless those who are facing surgery. We pray that You would especially bless Brother Travis, that You would be with him and all of his family. Bless the doctors with the wisdom that they need to be able to administer unto his needs. We thank You for blessing Sister Leslie through her surgery. Bless her now with a speedy recovery. Be with all the others that are sick and afflicted, and those who have special burdens and problems, those who are trying to make decisions in their lives. We pray that You would guide them by Your Holy Spirit. Help us all to live closer to Thee and closer one to another. Help us all to remember the brevity of life, that we only have a short time left here in this world. So help us to live each day as if it's our last. Help us, Lord, to love Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let brotherly love continue, and help us, Lord, to love even our enemies. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. The Word of God says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Those are kind of depressing words, aren't they? You know, when Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy and tells him to preach the word, but there was going to come a time that the people would no longer be interested in the word of God. There was going to come a time that the people would actually turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And I believe with all of my heart in America today that we're at that point where many of God's people are turning their backs and turning their ears away from the truth of God. I want us to go back and look again at verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." I want us to think tonight about primarily those two verses. But first of all, I want us to think about that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I know that there are people that think that there are only portions of the Bible that are the inspired Word of God, but I believe with all of my heart that the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, I believe that they are the inspired Word of God. Peter expressed it this way. He says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Spirit of God moved in them, and I believe that as they penned those words, that though they came from their hearts, it was God moving in them, and the things that they wrote were the inspired Word of God. I don't believe this is just the compilation of the writings of men, but Paul says here to young preacher Timothy, he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, it's important that we understand this is the Word of God and not the words of men. Because we base all that we believe and all that we stand for, we base it on the Word of God. It's not up to my feelings or my thoughts. It's not up to how we vote as a majority as to what is truth. The only way that we can determine what is truth is by searching the Scriptures, by studying the Word of God. That's the reason the Apostle Paul told Timothy to study the Word of God, study the Scriptures. And Jesus tells us to study the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Back up just 3 or 4 pages from here. I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, are there some people that receive the Word of God, that they receive the Scriptures as the Word of God and not the words of men? Are there other people, on the other hand, who believe that the Scriptures are nothing more than the compilation of the writings of men? I remember in Columbus, Georgia, I had a lady that had been listening to us on the radio program, and there was a particular subject that I had been preaching on, and she came to church and she said, I am so thankful to finally hear somebody preach that portion of God's Word. She said, my pastor will not preach it, and I haven't heard anybody preach this from God's Word. And she was only there about 3 or 4 weeks before I tried to preach on the subject of election and predestination. And that lady left there that so mad that morning that she could spit nails. She said, I have never heard any such doctrine as that. I said, well, did I preach anything that's not in the Word of God? You said the reason that you came to this church is because we're preaching things that you have not heard anywhere else. If you haven't heard about election and predestination, you need to read God's holy Word. It's the Word of God. It's not a doctrine of men. It's not a doctrine of primitive Baptists. It's the Word of God. And so she came to me the next Sunday with all kinds of copies that she had made of different commentaries. And this is actually the honest truth. They said that some of the commentaries said that the Apostle Paul was deranged when he wrote many of those Scriptures. That the Apostle Paul had lost his mind and that he did not understand what he was writing. Now, those commentators deny that the Scripture, that all Scripture is the inspired Word of God. Brethren, we base everything, our articles of faith say that we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired Word of God. If you don't believe every portion of God's Word, if you don't believe everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you don't believe that this is the Word of God, then you can't believe any portion of it. All of it. All Scripture. And that's what Paul emphasizes to the young preacher Timothy. He says, all Scripture is the inspired Word of God. And it's profitable. It's good for us. Everything in God's Word is good for us. All Scripture, I wanted to mention here from 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I asked you to turn there, but I want to read verse 13 because this shows the difference in the way some people listen to and receive the Word of God while other people feel differently. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Word of God says that as Paul was writing to the saints of God at Thessalonica, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us. Now, does it come through men? Does the Word of God come through men? Yes, it does. He says, you heard the Word of God and you heard it of us. He says, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in also in you that believe. What's he saying there? He says, I'm glad that you have received the Word, not as the words of men, but you've received it as the Word of God. And I can say that honestly to you, that I'm thankful, that I believe that all of you who are here, that you receive this not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, it's the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is profitable to the people of God. I want you to first of all understand that the Word of God is of no value to the dead alien sinner. Do you understand that? The Word of God is a spiritual message from a spiritual God to a spiritual people. If you have not been born of the Spirit of God, the Word of God does not cause you to be born of the Spirit. It's only after you're born of the Spirit of God that you can even hear and understand the Word of God. But after you're born of the Spirit, you then have spiritual ears, and then it is that the Word of God is profitable to you. It's a profit to you. And he says it's profitable for, what's the first thing he says? He says four things that it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, you may see different things in those four different categories that he mentions there. But one of the things that he means when he talks about doctrine is all the things about God and the things of God and the ways of God, the holiness of God and the perfection of God, all of the fundamental doctrine that's in God's Word. That, where do you get the idea? Where do you get the truth about God? How do you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? How do you know that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh? How do you know all the things that you know about God? How do you know that God cannot lie? How do you know that God is sovereign? How do you know that God is all-powerful? How do you know that this world came into existence not through evolution, but because God spoke this world into existence? How do you know that you're saved by grace and not by works? How do you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How do you know all the doctrine that you know? You know them all because you were taught from the Word of God. The Word of God. Not the words of men, not the theories of men, not the ideas of men, but from the Word of God. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, and it's profitable for reproof. Now, some people view reproof in one way and some another. I'm going to explain one way. One way is that when we get away from what is truth, that we need to be reproved. That is, when we get into false teachings, we need somebody to take the Word of God and show us the error of our way. And that's called reproof. And some view reproof as one and correction the other, and some view it a different way. But reproving someone is showing them something that's wrong, either in what they believe, and that's the way I'm first going to talk about it, is reproof is showing people things that are wrong in what they believe. That's reproving someone. Correction, and you may see that this opposite, but correction, I'm going to say, is when somebody is doing something wrong and you show them that they're doing something that's wrong. If you believe something wrong, I have a responsibility to try to reprove you and show you the error of your beliefs. If you're doing something wrong, I have a responsibility to correct you and to show you what you're doing is wrong. Now, how do I show you what's right and what's wrong? How do you show what is truth and what is error? Well, it's all from the Thus saith the Lord. That's what the Word of God is profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What is instruction in righteousness? Do we need to be busy about our Father's business? Do we need to be busy and full of zeal and good works? God has ordained us unto good works. Well, how do you know what are good works and what are bad works? How do you know the difference in works that are pleasing to God and works that are not pleasing to God? Did you know there are many works that on the surface could appear pleasing to God? If this church wanted to have a fundraiser, if we wanted to have a car wash, and we wanted to have a bake sale, and we wanted to have different kinds of ways to raise money for the church, and we wanted to have a yard sale to raise money for the church. Does on the surface, if you didn't know anything about God's Word, does that sound like a noble thing to do? To raise money for the church. We're going to raise money for missions. We're going to raise money to build a new sanctuary. We're going to raise money for this, that, and the other. Listen, brethren, the Word of God tells us the only way that money is to be brought into the house of God is not through fundraising projects, but through the tithes and offerings of God's people. And if they don't do that, don't come up with some other way to raise money for the church. And so I'm thankful that the church here understands that you don't have fundraising projects, but rather you're to bring, and you have that responsibility to bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And if you're not bringing your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, you're robbing God, and God will judge you for that. Now, how do you know all of that? Well, it's all found in the Scriptures. It's not thus saith Brother Billy. It's not what I think. It's not what I feel. It's what God says in His holy Word. And so it is that we base our beliefs on the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do I need some instruction about what are righteous things to do in my life? I do, and you do, and we all do. And we find that instruction in righteousness in the Word of God. And then he says that the man of God... Now, what's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel? What's the purpose of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness? Is it so that you and I can get to heaven when we die? No. The preaching of the Word doesn't cause anybody to be born again, and obeying the Word does not get anybody into eternal heaven. It's that the man of God, who is a man of God? A man of God is somebody who's already been born of the Spirit of God and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Who is the Word of God profitable to? It's only profitable to the man of God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, I want you to go back in your Bibles just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. The Word of God talks about the Word of God is like rain. We have needed rain recently. We have prayed for rain, and God has sent rain on the earth. What does rain do? When rain comes down from heaven, what does rain do? Does rain cause life, or does rain sustain life that's already there? Which one does rain do? It only sustains life. You can take a rock, and you can put it out in the rain, and you just wait all you want to. You can water a rock from now till doomsday, and you'll never have any life in that rock. You can take anything that's dead, and you can water it, and you can put it in rain, and do anything else you want to, but if it's dead, water does not give life. And so many people say, well, we just need to come take the water of life and get born again. Brethren, the water of life, the Word of God, does not give life to dead alien sinners. It sustains life in those who've already been born of the Spirit of God. And that's taught clearly in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Well, let me first notice verse 3. Well, let's back up to verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. He says, Ho! Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, thirst is an evidence of what? Life. Do those rocks out there, are they thirsty? Dead limbs out there, are they thirsty? The only thing that's ever thirsty are those that have life. And he says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now listen to verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. What's he talking about? All this eating and drinking that he's talking about in verses 1 and 2. What's he talking about? He's talking about coming and hearing the Word of God. What's he talking about? Drinking and eating. He's talking about drinking and eating the Word of God, and we shall live. Does that mean we're going to become alive if we start eating and drinking? No. It's that we will sustain life and we'll be full of life if we eat and drink. Look again at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Does the Word of God feed your soul? Does the Word of God feed your soul? If it doesn't, something's wrong with your soul. The Word of God is spiritual food to born again children of God, those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now, come down to verse 10. This is what I mainly wanted to come after. Is in Isaiah 55, verse 10, he says, "For as the rain..." What's the Word of God like? He's going to compare it to rain here. In Isaiah 55, verse 10, he says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Does God's word return unto him void? Does he ever waste preaching? Listen carefully to what I'm asking you. Do you see that God is comparing the preaching of his word here to water or rain coming down from heaven? Is the preaching of the Word of God ever wasted? What if the people of God don't bring forth fruit in their lives? Has the Word of God been wasted then? All right, let's see whether or not it's been wasted. Because this passage seems to say that the Word of God, when it comes down from heaven, that like the rain, it never returns to him void. There is a reason and a purpose for the preaching of the Word of God. I want you to go forward in your Bibles to Ezekiel. Go forward to Ezekiel chapter 2. I want you to see that not only are God's people nourished and strengthened by the Word of God, and in doing that, that's a great blessing that God's obedient children get from the Word of God, but what if God's people harden their heart? What if God's children refuse to drink this water from heaven? What if they don't eat this food from heaven? Hasn't it then been a waste of time and energy for a man of God to go and preach? Let's see what the Word of God says. How do you know whether or not it's wasted? How do you know whether or not it's wasted? Well, you need to look at the Word, see what the Word says. Isaiah chapter 2, listen, beginning in verse 3. God speaking to Ezekiel. We're in Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel to a..." Were the children of Israel God's chosen people? Were they a special people to the Lord? He says, "I send thee to the children of Israel to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day." Have they turned their back? Have the fathers of Israel, have they turned their backs on the Word of God? Had the Word of God been taught to them and preached to them, but they were rebelling against and turning away from the Word of God? And now God's sending Ezekiel to them. He says in verse 4, "For they are impudent..." What? What's that next word? They're impudent. Are they still God's children? Yes, "they're impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." You know what I have a responsibility to preach to you? I do not have a responsibility to preach current events. I don't have a responsibility to preach or teach anything other than the Word of God. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to tell you jokes. I'm not here to make you laugh or feel good necessarily. I'm here to preach the Word of God. Nothing else. That's all we're here for, is to hear the Word of the Lord. That's what God sent Ezekiel to do, to preach the Word of God. He says, "You will go say, Thus saith the Lord God." Listen to verse 5. "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear..." What does that word mean, forbear? That means they turn their back and refuse to hear. He says, "Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them." What's God saying through Ezekiel here? What's God telling Ezekiel? God's telling Ezekiel, you go and you preach to the people of God. You go preach to the house of Israel. They've already turned their back on God. Whether they will hear you or whether they don't hear you, my word will not be in vain. Because when I send my judgment, they will know that a prophet has been among them, that they've been warned. So does the word of God ever return to God void? No, not at all. I may talk to someone and I may try to get them to do what's right, and they may absolutely refuse and go in the other direction, but the word of God has not been wasted, because they will know that they have been warned from God's holy word. Is it important that you and I warn God's people from the word of God? Who is it that has the responsibility to share the word of God with others? Is it only the pastor who has that responsibility? The scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And who has the responsibility to share that scripture with others? Is it only the preacher or pastor? No. Every one of you has a responsibility to share the word of God with other people. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, the word of God will accomplish that God sent it to do. Even if all it is just a warning to other people, so they will know when judgment comes, they will know they were warned about the direction that they were going. Go with me in closing to the New Testament just a moment. Turn to Titus chapter 2, just one moment. Titus chapter 2, listen please to verse 15. Titus chapter 2 and verse 15. Do people sometimes despise the word of God? Do people sometimes rebel against the word, hate the word of God? And do people sometimes hate anybody who speaks the word of God? Though they speak it in truth, though they speak it as humbly as possible to be spoken, do people sometimes despise the word of God and despise, I will say, do they sometimes despise the messenger who brings them the word of God? Do you think the Apostle Paul was sometimes despised because he spoke the word of God? Do you think he was sometimes despised because he reproved and rebuked and exhorted with all long suffering? Yes, he was despised. Do you think the Apostle Paul was warning Timothy and Titus, be careful, don't let people disliking you keep you from preaching and teaching the Word of God? I hope that God will help us all to understand that you and I have responsibility to share the Word of God with other people, even if they get mad about it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, in Titus chapter 2, listen to verse 15. We'll close right here. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, the Word of God says, these things speak. What things? These things speak. It's the Word of God. You go back and study. He's talking about the Scriptures. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Now, all this rebuking, doctrine, and correcting, and instruction in righteousness, how is it that you can do that with authority? How is it that you do that with authority? It's because it's the Word of God. And so he says, you do those things with all authority, knowing that it's the Word of God and not your own words. And then he says, let no man despise thee. People will despise you if you share with them the Word of God. Sometimes they will despise you. Sometimes the people of God will rejoice and say, thank you for showing me the way of truth. May God help us to show everyone and anyone we come in contact with, may God help us to show them the truth that's in the Word of God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.